بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم نحمده و نصلی علی رسوله الکریم ما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم یا ایها الذین آمنوا اتقوا اللہ وکونوا مع الصادقین صدق اللہ العظیم My most respected brothers and elders, inshallah we will discuss today a discourse of our Hazrat Arif Billah Hazrat Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib rahmatullah alayh, which he had delivered the 22nd of Ramadan, 22nd of February 1995 at 10:30 p.m. after Taraweeh Salah in his Khanqa. So Hazrat Mir Sahib Damod Barakatuhum, who was his Khadim, had mentioned, or he had transcribed this entire bayan, and he had mentioned that Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayh, after Taraweeh Salah, people gathered around him. So in his room, he started speaking. So he gives a couplet which means closing all the doors and opening the bottle of perfume. He says, generally such gatherings are more beneficial than the normal lecture programs, because such knowledge is disseminated for those who tread the path of tasawuf that is not normally mentioned in general gatherings. So what we normally don't hear in the Jummah talks, in those special gatherings, because now the people are coming with sincere talab, quest, zeal. They're making the sacrifice after Taraweeh Salah, and they're sitting there. So now the speaker also becomes inspired, and Allah Ta'ala makes such things come out on his zuban, on his tongue, that benefits all the people there. In fact, after the talk, people insisted that this talk must be published. In this discourse, Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayhi explains the rewards earned due to taqwa and piety. So the whole topic is the rewards of piety. Taqwa ke in'amat. What in'am? What rewards does a person get when he gains taqwa? So in this discourse, Hazrat explains the rewards earned due to piety by providing proof from the Quran. So whatever he mentioned is all from the Quran Sharif. He also explains how much courage one needs in order to obtain piety. Now this is something that all of us require every single day of our life. We need that courage. And how much of courage does one require to gain taqwa? That is to refrain from sins. So how much of courage you need to refrain from sins? And this is the problem that many people ask and write about. That I tried my best, still fell into the sin. I just don't have the courage. So inshallah, when we hear this discourse, it will be explained how much of himmat and courage a person requires to gain taqwa. The manner in which Hazrat Rahmatullahi explains how one can achieve the sweetness of iman and the unexplainable taste of Allah's contact due to the grief caused by abstaining from sin makes one feel that Allah Ta'ala is right in front of him. The way Hazrat should explain how one can achieve the sweetness of iman. Iman has a sweetness called halawat iman. And the contact one can gain with Allah Ta'ala, then during this bayan, a person would feel as though Allah Ta'ala is right in front of him. ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ This is Allah, your nourisher and sustainer. Every discourse of Hazrat Rahmatullahi creates an earthquake inside the heart. It carries the reality and taste of deen and makes one reach the real beloved, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this brief discourse which touches on the topics of the importance of piety, the promised rewards, mustering courage for abstention from sin, the methods of reforming the self, and the lofty subjects is a manifestation of this reality. The aim of life. What is the aim of coming into this world? What is the maqsad of coming into existence? Why did Allah Ta'ala send us into this world? Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayhi poses a simple question. Is it merely to import and export? We're not talking about the goods. He's talking about import by eating and export it in the toilet. Is that what the maqsad is? If this is the aim, then an elephant is more successful than us because it can import and export more than us. Man is the noblest of creation. We therefore have to ask Allah Ta'ala why He sent us into this world. Ask the creator of life. Ask the one who created dunya, hayat, zindagi. What the aim of our life is. And Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah created mort, death and life to test you by seeing who is best in amal and action. That is why Allah Ta'ala created us. Now if you would note that the word mort has been mentioned first. Although we have life first and then death. As it says, I'm mentioning خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ, death first. As Allah Ta'ala mentioned, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ. Because the one who constantly keeps death in front of him. So Allah Ta'ala has mentioned, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ. Allah is reminding us of maut. One who keeps maut constantly in front of him, he will be successful because he got his aim in front of him. قَدَّمَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى مَوْتَ عَبْدِهِ عَلَى حَيَاتِهِ. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned the death of his servant before his life. The one who knows that he has to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, then he does not lead a free life like an animal. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. To test you by seeing who is best in action, he will not commit any sins. This indicates that the aim of coming into this world is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says, he kept two substances in man to test him. Allah has put a madda, a substance in us. One is of piety and one is of evil. We have created the substances of sin in you. Allah has given us the substance in our bodies, the substance of sin in you, so that you can commit sins. Not that Allah Ta'ala wants us to commit sin. Let us understand what Hazrat is explaining. And you will have a great urge to commit sin. So this substance, this madda is in within man. We have also given you the substance of piety and fear. Whichever side you desire, you can strengthen by striking it. Allah says, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Allah inspired the soul with its evil, fujur, sins, وَتَقْوَاهَا, and its piety. So Allah has given man two substances. One is of the urge to commit sin, and the other one, the ability to restrain also. Therefore Allah Ta'ala has not been oppressive by placing the substance of sin only within us. If you have matches in your pocket, does it burn the pocket? Fire is only produced by striking. Similarly, the nafs has sin on one side and taqwa on the other side. If you mix with attractive faces, women and boys, the substance of disobedience will be struck together. This will produce the fire of sin. And if you stay with the awliya Allah, the substance of obedience will be struck together, thereby illuminating the light of piety. When the nafs does not obtain its food, it becomes restless. Your soul should be pleased when the enemy is restless. Don't you express happiness when your enemy is restless and full of grief? Then you say, Mutu bi ghaydikum, die in your anger. Therefore, when the nafs is grieved by not looking at women and boys, then express joy at the fact that your enemy is grieved. Due to this, piety is being created. Had the substance of disobedience been absent, no one could have ever become pious. So Allah Ta'ala has kept the substance of the urge of committing sins, and also has given us the ability to refrain from sins, and that is taqwa and piety. So man has got these two things in front of him. If he goes on either side, then he will either become sinful or he'll become muttaqi. The point Hazrat Rahmatullah is explaining, we see, what is the definition of taqwa? Taqwa means that one has the urge to disobey, and despite having the urge to disobey Allah Ta'ala, one prevents himself from doing so. This is called taqwa. One undergoes the pangs of not sinning. You won't call a person muttaqi if there's no question of him having the urge to sin. We don't term the angels as muttaqeen. This quality of taqwa is for insan. Angels don't have any nafs. لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. Angels never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no question of shahwat and desires for them. Desires are placed in the soul of man. And if Allah ta'ala talks, yes, angels are the most dutiful, or they are most obedient to Allah ta'ala, they never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever Allah commands them, they immediately carry it out, execute these commands of Allah ta'ala. But man has got desires also. So why will man be called muttaqi? When despite having the urge to commit sin, he restrains. كَفُّ النَّفْسِ عَنِ الْهَوَى. This is the definition of taqwa. كَفُّ النَّفْسِ عَنِ الْهَوَى. Stopping the nafs from evil desires. Had there been no substance of disobedience, then one would not have prevented the nafs from desires. Allah Ta'ala says, وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. That person who restrains his nafs from committing sin, that such a person gets jannat. The one who does this is pious. He is called muttaqi. And he is entitled to enter Jannah. When one has to prevent desires, the existence of desires is essential. If there is no desires in a person, then what's the question of restraining yourself from desires? Allah Ta'ala would have never commanded us to refrain from something which He did not place in us. So Allah put the substance of shahwat, of urge to commit sin in man, and Allah has commanded us now, now you obey me by not following your desires. You should restrain yourself from your desires. And if you do so, then you have obeyed me, and then you have got taqwa and piety, and you deserve to be entered into Jannah. Azhar says, do not look at the glasses in my hand. As I explain this point, when one has to prevent desires, the existence of desires has to be present. It is essential. He says, if I say, do not look at the glasses in my hand. If I tell you now, do not look at the glasses in my hand. Whereas I don't have any glasses in my hand. This statement would be futile. Yes, if I have glasses in my hand, and then I tell you, do not look at the glasses in my hand, then there's some meaning in it. Now, I don't have any glasses in my hand, and I tell you, do not look at the glasses in my hand. So this instruction is futile. If there are glasses, then the statement is valid. This indicates that every prohibition necessitates the existence of the prohibited substance. If the prohibited substance is absent, the prohibition becomes null and void. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that how you get taqwa, by restraining yourself, so Allah ta'ala has put this urge to commit sin in every person. Who is the true lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The original salik. Salik is one who treads the path of tasawuf. One who is seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the true lover of Allah ta'ala is the one who knows how to endure the grief of Allah's path. And who has the courage of enduring grief. So Hazrat is explaining that we have that urge in ourselves to commit sins. And then one restrains himself. Now when you restrain yourself from committing any sin, then you are applying a lot of pressure on yourself. And you're going through some pain and grief. If you had every single opportunity to look at a very beautiful woman, and you restrained yourself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you lowered your gaze, you moved away. For those few seconds, you will undergo some pain in your heart. That pain and that grief and that pressure that you applied, this is what Hazrat is explaining now. The true love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how to endure the grief of Allah's path. And who has the courage of enduring the grief. So he knows how to endure the grief. He knows how to endure the grief and the courage he requires to endure the grief. Merely performing nafil salah, nafil hajj and umrah is no great feat. Of course, the person gets rewarded. A great feat is when an attractive face comes in front of you and you do not raise your eyes to look. You endure the grief of not looking. Even if your heart reaches your throat, It's very painful. If you practice this and inculcate the habit of safeguarding your gaze, you will develop the quality of Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. You won't become a Sahabi, but you'll develop the qualities of Sahaba. And we had mentioned in one majlis some time back when the Sahaba were entering one place and the enemy had placed a woman on either side in rows with open hair, very beautiful woman. And the Sahaba looked down as they walked. The enemy realized that they were defeated now. The enemy were defeated because Sahaba, they didn't even look at those women. So this is the quality of Sahaba. If you practice this and inculcate the habit of safeguarding your gaze, you will develop the quality of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. If Allah wills, I will present this proof of this now. I will provide proof from the Quran Sharif, because ulama present as it says, how did Allah Ta'ala grant the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in such a great status? Quran talks about in one battle, وَبَلَغَذِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرَ, and the hearts reached the throats. They underwent such difficult conditions as if their hearts were uprooted and came up to their throats. We shook them thoroughly. Allah Ta'ala says, وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا, and they were shaken up severely. They were put through severe hardships. As it says today also, the one who endures all kinds of hardships in abstaining from sin and his heart comes to his throat, then too, he does not look at any ghair mahram woman. He endures all types of grief in the path of piety. He pleases Allah Ta'ala. He displeases his nafs. He will, if Allah Ta'ala wills, obtain the quality of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. So this is, the person has every opportunity to look at this pretty woman. Nothing else, nobody else around there. And for the sake of Allah, now he exerts this pressure on himself, as though his heart has been uprooted. And it's come right to his throat. So in order to save himself from the situation and that pain, then he would just give in to the sin and just look at the woman. But he says, no, I'm not going to look at that woman. And he endures the grief and the pain. And this was found in the Sahaba. That even in the battlefield, when they had to go through this, they were prepared to give their lives for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The rewards of taqwa. Today's governments talk on terms of giving and taking. Based on this, what has Allah Ta'ala given us after ordering us to discard sin? The rewards of taqwa as follows. The first reward of taqwa is ease in every task. Whatever task we have, then there'll be ease for us. Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. He who fears Allah, Allah makes all his tasks easy for him. Your work becomes easy for you. Is this not a great reward? That every task of a person becomes easy. The perpetration of sin is a difficulty. To commit sin, it's not an easy thing, it's something hard. Do our tasks become easy or difficult with sins? The listeners reply, difficult. Sin is itself difficult. It's so difficult that a person makes many plans for it. And a person wants to commit sin. He makes many plans to commit the sin. He hides away. He waits for his wife and children to go away. He'll wait for his parents to be gone somewhere. So he's making plans. So the first thing, it's not just easy to commit that sin. In front of the wife, the person won't open pornographic material and show her that he's looking at that. He must be a crazy person. So he waits for her to be looking somewhere else or gone somewhere. So he's making plans. The first thing, he has to hide away. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in hadith, وَكَرِهْتَ أَيَّطَّلِعَ عَلَيْهِ النَّاسُ. You fear that people come to know of that sin you're committing. So a person will hide and commit the sin. The person who sins fears all the time. He fears all the time. He's restless. People should not come to know. He did that haram, now he's worried. Nobody must come to know. One's health is also destroyed. Every sin harms the health. Hazrat Ali Billah was a Hakim. He was a Hakim. So he knew. He says, sins, guna, causes nuqsan to the health of the person. The heart becomes weak. Because of fearing the makhluk, the creation. There's a verse in the Quran where Allah Ta'ala mentioned the word ma'ishatan danka, which means a constrained life, a narrow life. Allah Ta'ala says that He will grant a difficult life, ma'ishatan danka, a bitter life to those who displease Him by importing haram pleasures into their hearts. He will burn the haram pleasures. I take an oath in Allah's name, Hazrat Rahmatullah says, that no sinner can prove he is at ease and he got itminani qalb and he's content. No sinner can say this. He's not at ease, he's restless, he's bechain. Curses rain down upon their faces. There is no limit to the punishment meted out to their hearts. They take enjoyment for a very little while, short while. Thereafter, punishment and uneasiness rain down upon their hearts. Hakim al-Ummat Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah explained how the lives of sinners become bitter. Firstly, they fear retribution. They feel perhaps the one with whom he's committing a sin, that person's heirs, family members may come and take revenge. Secondly, they fear that their secret may leak out. This was an explanation that had given on Ma'ishta and Dhanka. As I said, I will present a medical one. The medical harms of evil glances. One evil glance causes several diseases, even though it may be just for 1 minute. The heart becomes weak. Uneasiness steps in immediately. He glances around to see if anyone is looking at him. In this state of uneasiness, the heart weakens. The urinal tracts become swollen due to evil thoughts. This causes frequent urination. Blood vessels become weak, causing weakness in the brain and loss of memory. His knowledge gets wasted. Kidneys also weaken. What happens in an earthquake, Hazrat says? Don't the buildings become weak due to an earthquake? Similarly, sinning is an earthquake from nafs and shaitan. Subhanallah. This is what we should remember today. Gunas is an earthquake from nafs and shaitan. The one who protects himself from sin, turns his gaze away immediately, is also struck by an earthquake in the heart, but this earthquake is different from the earthquake caused by nafs and shaitan. Person, one is nafs and shaitan caused an earthquake, he falls, he stumbles, he commits a sin, he's restless, he's bechan, and he suffers all the consequences of that. But when he does not look and he turns his gaze away for the sake of Allah, his heart is also shaken. He feels that pain, but there's a difference. This grief that is caused by not looking, then he gains what you call halawat iman, sweetness of iman through that. And the other person, you'll find will be curses rained down upon the earthquakes of sin. In addition Allah to that, Allah Ta'ala sends down punishment. And the sweetness of iman builds a broken heart. Allah has promised to reconstruct the heart that is struck by an earthquake when abstaining from sin. By turning your gaze away, you experience difficulty. Allah will rebuild this heart with the material of sweetness of iman. The construction of a heart broken by protecting the gaze and not displeasing Allah Ta'ala, sacrificing a haram pleasure and pleasing Allah is Allah Ta'ala's responsibility now to reconstruct that heart. With what will He reconstruct that heart? With what will He build it? What is the substance Allah will use? In the world, whenever an earthquake occurs, government announces that the area is a disaster site. It's cordoned off. It's a disaster site. It overlooks. So the government, when it sees that that area is a disaster strike site, the government even overlooks taxes and other payments of the disaster-stricken people. So they are not now compelled to pay taxes, etc. Allah Ta'ala says that He will forgive your sins. When you turned away for the sake of Allah, you broke your heart. You did not fulfill your desires, but you pleased Allah Ta'ala. Your heart was shaken. So Allah says, I will forgive all your sins. The government of Allah says that He does not build the hearts of cement and gravel. He will rebuild the hearts with the sweetness of iman. By taking the sweetness of the sight, He will grant them the sweetness of spiritual insight. A person didn't just look at that woman and gain some spiritual sight, some sweetness at the sight, But Allah Ta'ala now, because he turned away, Allah gave him spiritual insight. He will grant the sweetness of spiritual insight. They will perceive the sweetness of iman in their hearts. يَجِدُ حَلَاوَتَهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ. He will feel the sweetness of iman in his heart. That is the desires which we sacrificed. That is, the desires which we sacrificed have caused destruction in our hearts. Now we have been blessed with your reconstruction. We congratulate such destruction. We congratulate the destruction of the heart caused by sacrificing our evil desires with the help of Allah Ta'ala. How blessed an act to have the heart reconstructed by the hand of the Master and the Creator. Such closeness, there is no replacement. Such a person is blessed with the quality of Sahaba. He attains the relationship of Siddiqeen. His iman and conviction is of a very high category, who endures the grief of abstention from sin. This is the main thing. The grief, the pain a person endures when he abstains from sin. They endure the grief of taqwa. So even if you perform 100 nafil hajj and tawaf, as it says, and ishraq and charge and tasbih, that is not the pain, the grief of the heart that's attained when you safeguard yourself from casting any evil glance. You can't compare the both. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has rights. The rights of the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says, Istaghfiru Rabbakum. Seek forgiveness from your Rabb, your Lord and your Sustainer. Malakum la tarjuna lillahi waqara. What is wrong with you that you do not recognize the greatness of Allah? Allah mentions in the Quran, Malakum, what is wrong with you? La tarjuna lillahi waqara. You don't recognize the greatness of Allah? So this is something we have to ponder over. That Allah is so great. Allah is most great. Nobody greater than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if this is the condition, then we should respect Allah Rabbul Izzat by obeying Allah Ta'ala, not disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the very first benefit of taqwa was that the person's work becomes easy for him. All his matters become easy for him, number one. Number two, the second reward, release from calamities. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever fears Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala makes a way out for him from all difficulties. Two have been mentioned. The third one, unlimited rozi and sustenance. Now all this is mentioned in the Quran Sharif. Allah is saying, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Can Allah Ta'ala's words, can Allah Ta'ala's kalam be wrong? No, ma'adallah. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. Who can be more true than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So Allah is saying, Allah will make an opening from all your difficulties. We complain, we've got this parishani, this problem, that problem. So Allah says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ. Whoever fears Allah, what will be the in'am, the reward? He'll make an opening for you from any difficulty you are experiencing. وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ وَلَا يَحْتَسِبُ. And Allah Ta'ala will provide sustenance for the person from unseen sources. Sources that he could not even imagine. He didn't think that he'll get rosy from here and rosy from there, and Allah Ta'ala will provide for him. So taqwa is a business without any loss. Taqwa is a business without any loss. It is conducting business with Allah Ta'ala. There is no loss, and there's no interest involved. If you conduct business with anyone in the world and take guarantee of no loss, it will become interest. But Allah Ta'ala says this law of conducting business without interest is for His servants only. They cannot conduct business in this way. Allah Ta'ala says that if you adopt piety, He will take the guarantee of giving this kind of profit, sustenance that is unlimited. There is only benefit in taqwa. There is never a loss in it. We never break our promise. Allah Ta'ala says we never break our promise. So Allah Ta'ala fulfills His promise. Allah says a pious person can never be in pareshani. A pious person can never be living a life of anxiety and worry and fear. Whenever any worry afflicts you, this is what we should be doing. Whenever any pareshani afflicts a person, take an account, a stock of ourselves. Perhaps your eye may have erred, the ears may have erred, or the heart may have slipped. You may have breached the trust of the eyes and the heart. Some people repent from the breach of the eyes, but they enjoy the taste of past sins in their hearts. This is a breach of the heart. Both are haram. Both have been mentioned in the Quran. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah knows the treachery of the eyes and what the hearts conceal. Therefore, it is necessary to protect the eyes as well as the heart. You didn't look at the woman, but you're fantasizing. Both we should stay away from. Both a person should refrain from. Do not allow evil thoughts to enter the heart. So you've heard the three rewards of piety so far. What are you leaving? What are you going to obtain? Allah is making you leave an evil act. And what favors is He granting you? He's giving you ease in all work. Sab kaam mein aasani. Sab kaam mein aasani. Number two, unlimited sustenance. Behisab rizq. Behisab rizq. Number three, an exit from all problems. Sab masaib se khuruj. An exit from all problems. And the fourth reward is a decisive light. What is the fourth reward of taqwa? Allah grants such an illuminating light by means of which you can actually distinguish between right and wrong. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Remember Allah, Hazrat had mentioned, He'll give ayats from Quran to prove the benefits of taqwa. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. In tattaqullaha yaj'al lakum furqana. If you have, O believers, if you have taqwa, then Allah will give you the ability to differentiate between truth and falsehood. He'll give you the ability to do so. The fourth reward. The fifth reward, the light of tranquility. هو الذي أنزل السكينة في قلوب المؤمنين. He is the one who sends down sakina in the hearts of the believers. Peace, tranquility. Who? When the person has taqwa in him. By means of this tranquility, he remains Allah conscious all the time. He does not forget Allah Ta'ala for a moment. If he deliberately forgets Allah Ta'ala and shows desire for some attractive person, he sees moth in front of him. If he intends any evil or prohibited act, Allah protects him from committing the same. If his sahib in nisbat intends to commit evil or sin, Allah Ta'ala will protect him. Why? Because he is a friend of Allah Ta'ala. If he intends any evil or attempts committing unlawful things, Allah Ta'ala will make ways, Allah will provide ways for him and help him from not committing that sin. He will become uneasy within, and he will see moth in front of him. He will make a balance between sin and piety, and immediately he will realize that only taqwa has benefit while sins present problems, and he will refrain from sin. Tranquility from the sky. Piety creates a light of tranquility. This tranquility is not found on the earth like petrol. Scientists cannot extract it from the ground. Allah Ta'ala, this sukoon that we want, you can't just drill a hole in the ground and get sukoon. If that was so easy, all the kings would have had sukoon in the world. So scientists cannot extract it from the ground. Allah makes sukoon come from the sky, from above. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unto the heart of that person with whom Allah is pleased. And by means of this tranquility, he remains conscious of Allah Ta'ala. وَيَثْبُتُ بِهِ التَّوَجُّهُ إِلَى الْحَقِّ مُلَالِي قَالِيَمَا has mentioned that when this person gets this sukoon, then he is granted such steadfastness in deen that he is always inclined towards Allah Ta'ala. The example of the compass, it is like the needle of a compass that always points to the north because of the magnetic points it has. If you scrape off the magnetic substance from the needle, it will point in any direction you want it to point to. As long as it is polished with the magnetic substance, the needle will always point to the north, which is the center. Similarly, those people whose hearts are polished with the light of Allah Ta'ala, their hearts are forced to turn 90 degrees towards Allah Ta'ala, where there is this attraction, the center of Noor. Like how you have the center of the magnet, center of Noor. If any attractive person shifts it, the heart shakes, like the compass needle, until the person repents and corrects his direction. The tranquility of the heart is a great gift and bounty. No sinner has peace. The dark world of a sinner. Remember the word we said, ma'ishatan banka, a narrow, a constrained life. He said, Allah Ta'ala makes the life of one who does not abstain from sin very bitter. Allah makes his life very bitter. He always remains in worry. The verse of the Quran indicates an eternal state. فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ Always he feels full of grief, depressed. When he commits sin, then too he is afraid and worried. Commits a sin due to the evil habit he has developed. Finally, he finds no pleasure in sinning, but he commits a sin due to this habit he has. As I mentioned, a couplet of Shah Muhammad Ahmad Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, his sheikh, he says, "Uff, kitna hai tariq, gunahgar ka alam. Uff, oh ho, kitna hai tariq." Tariq means dark. How dark and gloomy is the world of the sinner. Kitna hai tariq, gunahgar ka alam. Anwar se ma'mur hai abrar ka alam. The life and the world of the pious is illuminated with light. Light and the world of the people who are sinners is dark. But those who Allah wala, their hearts, their life is illuminated with light and noor. Uff, kitna hai tariq, gunahgar ka alam. Anwar means light se ma'mur, it's filled. Hey, abrar ka alam. Abrar means the pious people. Their world, their life is full of light. A slight moment of sin becomes a means of eternal disgrace. Eternal disgrace. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Such a person is eventually despised amongst the creation. His honor is changed eternally to disgrace. The peace he experienced in his life is snatched away. I express this in a couplet. As I said, لَذَّتِ عَارِزِ مِلِي إِزَّتِ دَائِمِي gayi. لَذَّتِ عَارِزِ مِلِي. He got temporary enjoyment, enjoy. By committing sin, he enjoyed himself for a few seconds. Izzat-e daimi gayi. But when he was caught, he lost all his honor and respect. And you read the newspaper and you see people who are celebrities or people who are renowned people, they are caught in some sin, and how shameful it becomes after that. They lose all the respect. Yeh hai guna ka athar. This is the effects of sin. Rahat-e zindagi gayi. Rahate zindagi gayi, the comfort of life is lost. So this is what happens, that the person who has taqwa, then he gets light of tranquility. And the sixth reward of taqwa is, فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. We will most definitely grant him an enjoyable life. The life of a muttaqi person, remember, he is experiencing that pain and grief which we explained in the beginning, endures the pain and grief by not committing sin. He had the chance of looking at the pretty woman, he turned away, the pain he sustains for some time for the sake of Allah. But it doesn't mean his life is miserable, no. His life is full of enjoyment. Allah says, we will definitely grant him an enjoyable life. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah says, Ba lutf zindagi. Life of enjoyment. If you do good actions, Allah will grant you a life of enjoyment. Allah has mentioned this with much emphasis because man is embroiled in the snares of the nafs. Even without any emphasis, Allah's speech is emphatic. But Allah has specifically emphasized this verse due to our unworthiness and weaknesses. Then the seventh reward is respect and honor. What is the seventh reward? Allah Ta'ala grants a person honor and respect. Allah Ta'ala says that He made different tribes, وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلًا لِتَعَارَفُوا. Different families and tribes so we may recognize one another. But the person who is most honored in the eyes of Allah, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The one who has most taqwa, he is the most honored and respected in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I say, the person can be dark-skinned, he can be a black person, but he is a wali of Allah, then he is far better than a white person, who may be an Englishman, or he may be a Muslim, but he drinks and commits adultery. This black man who has got iman and who is muttaqi, he is more superior. The one whom Allah loves is fortunate. This is the seventh reward of piety, we said, that Allah gives him respect and honor. A pious person is honored in this world as well. Every person asks him for du'as, while those who do not reform themselves, even though they may be angels in form, they become involved in sin. Does any person ask them for any du'as? You know this person is committing zina, or he drinks all the time. Will you go, Hazrat, make du'a for me? Nobody will do that. But you go to the friends of Allah for du'a. Those who commit sins together depart from each other without even greeting. Allah Ta'ala save us. People who may have been involved in haram, the people, the man, the boy and the girl met, they committed zina, and after that they run away from that place. They run away from there. They don't even greet one another. I'm telling you something very important. If a person, for example, commits illegal sexual intercourse with his lover, both of them then send curses upon each other, and without greeting they separate from each other like criminals. No one even makes salam on departing. No one says, remember me in your du'as. Will that person, the boy, tell the girl now, after committing zina with her, remember me in your du'as? No one even makes salam in departing. No one says, remember me in your du'as. Why? This is because a shaitan does not ask another shaitan for du'as. One shaitan won't ask another shaitan for du'as. Both of them know what wrong they have done. May Allah protect us. The eighth reward, the crown of Allah's friendship. Allah makes you His wali. Allah grants you wilayat. The eighth reward of piety is the greatest one. Allah says that if you adopt piety, He will place the crown of His friendship on your head. That is, He will make you a wali. In awliya'uhu illa al-muttaqoon. His friends are only those who are muttaqi. Is it more beneficial to die as a friend of Allah or as a gunegar, a sinner or transgressor? So become pious and live a few days in this world, so that you can obtain the true pleasure of Allah's friendship before returning to Him. And as I explained also, that you become a wali of Allah, and you must desire to stay still a little while in this world, and enjoy being the wali of Allah. Don't just desire, become a wali, and maut must come immediately and I'm gone. He said, no, you must live in this world. He said, undoubtedly, your end result was good if you became a wali and you died immediately. But you did not taste and enjoy the pleasure of Allah's friendship. You enjoy the pleasure of being a friend of Allah in this world. So as soon as you become a wali, you pass away. You won't enjoy the friendship of wilayat. So supplicate to Allah Ta'ala to grant you wilayat and the highest status of siddiqeen. Allah must also grant you the ability to live for some time with this status of siddiqeen. Then you will come to know what the friends of Allah Ta'ala, what they enjoy. May Allah give us the status, inshaAllah. And the ninth reward is the wiping out of sins. Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, in tattaqullaha, yaj'al lakum furqana, we discussed it, wa yukaffir ankum sayyi'atikum. Allah wipes out the sins of the person. So Allah will grant him the ability to do such actions that overcome all his sins. And the tenth reward, which is the last one that is mentioned, as it says, وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. Allah will completely forgive you. In other words, it's not only wiping out of sins for you in this world, but it's forgiveness for you in the Akhirat. Allah will forgive you completely in the Akhirat as well. He says there are three acts. This is very important. We have heard now what is taqwa and the benefits of taqwa. And he says there are three acts. He says, now I will touch on a subject which I have spoken for the first time in my life this morning, Hazrat Rahman mentioned. This is 1995. If you want to know how to leave sins and become pious, we explained that we have to leave sin and we have to become pious, but how does one do it? He says, do three things. How much courage a person should have to abstain from sin, that I spoke about this morning for the first time in my life, and I will repeat now. Hazrat says, so in the morning he had a majlis, in Ramadan it was, and now he says, I will repeat. This is the first thing he said, you got to have courage. You've got to have himmat to refrain from sins. First of all, muster up the courage to leave all sins. Nothing can be done without having the courage. You've got to have courage to leave sins. Put up your sleeves and say, now I will never commit the sin again. Asking for the usage of courage. Ask Allah Ta'ala to grant you the ability to use courage, to have courage and to use the courage. It's given, that Allah Ta'ala has given you. People have the courage, but they do not use it. Oh Allah, grant me the ability to use the courage which you have granted me to keep away from sin and the ability to remain pious. If one did not have courage, taqwa would not have become compulsory upon him. Taqwa is compulsory because Allah has given us the courage. So we have the capability to refrain from sin and have the himmat and courage, and therefore Allah Ta'ala grants us all these benefits of taqwa. Then he says, so first one is to muster up the courage and ask Allah to give you the ability to use the courage. Number two, request for du'as. He says, request the special and accepted servants of Allah Ta'ala to supplicate on your behalf for courage. You make du'a and ask the muzruk also make du'a on your behalf that Allah gives you the himmat to stay away from sins. And he gives an incident that Mawlana Rumi Rahmatullah had given in his Mathnawi. It's a very lengthy incident. I'm just going to give you the khulasa of the whole incident. There was a person by the name of Nasuh. Hazrat Mawlana Rumi Rahmatullah mentioned this incident. He said this person was an adulterer. And he worked in the palace of the king, but he disguised himself as a woman. So probably had no beard, etc. And he wore this woman's clothing and he maybe spoke like a woman. So, this person, what he used to do, he worked in the palace of the king. So he's with all the women. The king did not know, the woman did not know this person is a man. And he used to massage the bodies of the woman. What a serious crime he committed. He destroyed the honor of the king's woman. His family woman. And the woman, he got carried away, he did not know that this person is a man. And the way he massaged him. But this act of his used to eat him up. Subhanallah. And he used to say, oh Allah, for how long will this haram work continue? One day I'm going to be arrested. And one day I'm going to die. Oh Allah, how am I going to face you? Please release me from this sin. One day a waliullah was passing through the forest. Nasu saw him and realized that this man is the wali. He went to him, pleaded to him, please make dua for me. The wali lifted his hands. And he made dua for this person. Now many times we ask some buzruk for dua. And he just says, shoot, inshallah, make dua. Inshallah, kaam ho jayega, whatever. It's not in his control. He makes dua to Allah Ta'ala. But we expect the person to raise his hand and make a long dua in Fatiha first. Then we feel content. No. The friends of Allah, their hearts are connected to Allah Ta'ala. They make dua. If Allah wishes to accept, he'll accept. So they don't have to raise their hands and make a long dua. They say, inshallah, I'll make dua. It's sufficient. So this person makes dua for him. It so happens that now one of the king's women in the family of the king, she lost her necklace. And all the maids were made to undress themselves and they were searched. Oh, Nasu is worried. What is going to happen to him now? His whole secret will become revealed. And he'll be arrested and caught. The king will throw him now and the dogs of the king will eat him up. Now he begins to cry. And he makes dua to Allah Ta'ala. And this we have heard, this dua. E khuda e banda yara ruswa makun. Oh Allah, do not disgrace me. Do not make me ruswa. E khuda e banda. E khuda e banda ra ruswa makun. Oh Allah, do not disgrace me. Gar badam man sirr man peda makun. Do not disclose my secret even though I'm such a wretched person. And just think of ourselves. Allah forgive us. We commit sins. And look at this dua. Oh Allah, do not disgrace me. Even though I'm a wretched person, if you hide my secret today, I will never displease you for the rest of my life. He makes a promise to Allah Ta'ala. I repent from all my indiscretions forever. You are full of greatness. I have committed abundant sins. You can forgive even if a sin is perpetrated in the haram of your Kaaba, still you are prepared to forgive. I am unworthy. I am only worthy of what I have done. An unworthy person commits unworthy acts. This is what I am worthy of. If you do not help me, O my Allah, I will be disgraced. That is how close to blackness my actions have brought me now. Now treat me in the manner that is worthy to your status, O Allah. I am only worthy of what I have done, but you, O Allah, treat me in the manner that is worthy of your shan and your status. Oh Allah, treat me as is worthy of your status. The snake of my nafs is stinging me from every hole of mine. The snake of my nafs is stinging me from every hole of mine. The causes of disgrace have enveloped me from all sides. So he began making this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Eventually he fell unconscious. From excessive supplication, lost his mind. Because now he knows what's going to be his condition. And during his unconsciousness, Allah Ta'ala showed him Jannat and Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala showed him Jannat and Jahannam. And when he regained his consciousness, it so happened the necklace was found and he was spared from any disgrace. Allah Ta'ala had accepted the supplication of that wali of his on behalf of this person who was repentant. He was a gunegar, he was a sinner, but he was lamenting. When the necklace was found, there were still about 4 or 5 maids left to be searched. The one who stole it had already been caught. Nasu was saved, otherwise the king would have left the dogs on him for disgracing the royal ladies. Thereafter the ladies asked him for forgiveness because they thought maybe you're also a culprit, but they realized that somebody else has stolen the necklace. So they said to him, please forgive us. We have committed a great act of indecency to you. They did not know he was a man. They still regarded him. They thought he's a woman. So he said, I forgive you, but now I no more remain capable of serving you. After witnessing heaven and hell in the dream, who would commit such a sin? He returned to the forest where he saw the wali of Allah and he became engaged in Allah Ta'ala's worship until he also became a very, very great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So first, you should muster courage, and second, make dua to Allah and ask somebody, a pious servant of Allah Ta'ala, to make dua for you. Inshallah, I think we'll stop here. It still continues, but this is basically what we should be doing, is mustering courage and making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a very long mazmoon of Hazrat Rahmatullahi, but very, very interesting. And it gives us hope to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Especially the youth who have keep on having these problems of internet and the cell phone and social media where the person slips or whatever. All of us commit sin. Allah protect us. Nobody is free from any sin. No matter who you may be, everybody looks at internet. And Shaitan is so cunning. He is so shrewd, the other day. Somebody was saying, the person looking at the Islamic site, innocently, some du'as or whatever he was looking at, and suddenly an advert pops up on the site, got nothing to do with that site. It's an advertisement, and I don't know how it works, but of a filthy woman. Now look at Shaitan. You're looking at some hadith, some Quran, some dini thing, and that advert pops up. So now your eye goes on that. Again, if you do not turn your glance away, or don't switch it off, or come out of that website, is the best thing to do. Then you can get caught in that sin. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat of having that courage and that himmat and making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ey khuda, ey bandara, ruswa makun, garbadam man sirri man peda makun. Think of this couplets of Mawlana Rumi rahmatullahi. That, oh Allah, do not disgrace me. Do not disclose my secret, even though I'm such a wretched person. Oh Allah, you forgive me according to your shan, your status. I have done what I am worthy of. I am only committed sin. Allah, you are Ghafur Rahim. You forgive me. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Subhanahu wa ta'ala.